I want to welcome everybody joining us today here in Chula Vista, everybody at any of our churches online. Thank you for being a part of this second installment of 40 Days of Prayer. Now, prayer can be a funny thing. And specifically, I want to start with a little confession about prayer. And so I want everyone everywhere, I want you to participate by a show of hands if this next statement is true of you. How many of you would say that you believe in prayer? Hold it up. Okay, you can go ahead and put it down. How many of you would say that you could pray more? Okay, put them down. Now here's the thing, isn't it interesting that all of us, you know, would go, yeah, we believe in prayer. And the same number of people that would say they believe in prayer go, yeah, I could probably do that more. And so what is it about prayer that is really a simple thing in its idea, communicating with God, but is really a very kind of mystical, supernatural thing at the very same time? What is it that oftentimes keeps us from praying more? I want to give you four things real quick right up front today. And I think we could all find ourselves in all of these, or maybe one of these, a little more than others. And I want you to grab that outline out of your program. Grab a pen. And I invite you to take some notes today. But here's some things, or you can use the app, follow along that way. Here's some things that I think we all find ourselves in for why we don't pray more. The first one is this. We're not sure we know how to pray. Write that down. We're not sure we know how to pray. I think for some of us, the reason we don't pray is we don't feel qualified. Like we don't know the right words. We might mess it up. We're not gonna say them in the right order. We don't think we sound spiritual enough, or maybe we don't know enough Bible. We haven't been following Jesus long enough. Like prayer must be for the really spiritual people. And so we just don't know enough. And what we learned last week is that God loves it when we just pray simple prayers. Like when we just go, man, here's what I'm going through. Here's what's on my heart. Here's what's going on in my life. God, I need to let you know. Like he loves that. And so one reason we think we don't know what to pray. I think probably one of the biggest reasons we don't pray more, I know that this used to be true for me, is that we get bored or distracted while trying to pray. We have like ADD when it comes to prayer. This happens to me all the time. I'll set aside, okay, here we go. God, you and me, we're going to pray. And so I'll start, and I'll get about a sentence in. Yeah, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace in my life. And I want to pray today. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what time is that NBA Finals game on? And then, like, I think the kids have practice. And then, well, I wonder what's for dinner. And, oh, yeah, I was here to pray. Okay, Lord, I'm back. You ever get that way? Like, I'm that way. I actually had a reputation at a previous church I worked at for falling asleep in prayer meetings. Now, I just might have lost all your confidence as your pastor, but I'm just keeping it 100, okay? Like this church, not this church, but I worked at a previous church that, I mean, they had prayer meetings all the time. And for some reason, their prayer meetings were either really early in the morning or really late at night. Like they did, man, we're gonna show up at the church and we're gonna pray at 5 a.m., and I'm like, really? You know, and I was a pastor, so it was like, well, I'll see you there. And, you know, or they'd pray late at night, or they even did like all night prayer meetings on New Year's Eve. And I was like, I think Jesus wants us to be out with the sinners and tax collectors like he was. That's where Jesus wants us to be on New Year's Eve, not like in the building. Like, really? We got to be in the building on New Year's Eve? And so I would, you know, I mean, at first they thought I was really spiritual because they're, you know, be like, you know, the prayer meeting would be almost over and like, man, James has just been laying, you know, prostrate before the Lord down there on the carpet. Look at that. He's praying. And then they'd see drool coming out of my mouth. Like, nope, he's asleep again. Wake him up. Right. And here was the thing. It wasn't that I didn't like to pray. Here's what I learned about myself. I don't like to pray early in the morning and I don't like to pray late at night. And so what I've had to do for me is learn, hey, what is the way of prayer that works for me? When and how? The other thing is I can't pray standing still or sitting down. And so for me, what I've learned, and I've learned how to pray regularly, and I've learned how to even pray like a decent amount of time, that I can regularly kind of be in prayer now, you know, for an hour or so. But here's how I have to do it. I have to put headphones in, I gotta put Jesus music on, and I gotta go for a walk. Because I can't like stay still and pray. And it has to be like midday or early evening. Because if it's in the morning or night, I'm going to fall asleep. And so I've learned how to do that. And so there's a way of prayer. If prayer seems boring to you, or if you get distracted, you just need to try to do it differently. And maybe it's not in the morning, maybe it is in the morning. Maybe it's not at night, maybe it is at night. Maybe it's on your lunch break, maybe it's in your car right before you get to work. I don't know what's gonna work for you, but if you'll practice it and you'll find it, there's a way to actually pray and not get distracted and not get bored. But I think that's a big reason that a lot of us don't pray. Here's another reason I think a lot of us don't pray as much as we think we could, is that we think our requests are too small for God. Actually, we talked about this one last week. If you weren't here last week, you gotta go back and watch or listen to week number one on our website, or there's links to it on our social media pages. Because we really talked about that there's no subject that is too small for God. There's nothing about our lives that he's like, well, why'd you tell me that? He's interested in all of it. Why? Because he's crazy about you. He loves you. And when you love someone, you wanna know what's going on in their life. And so God wants to know what's going on in your life. Every detail, there's nothing too small for you to share with him. And then here's the fourth reason I think a lot of us don't pray more, is that we're not sure our prayers will make a difference. You ever felt that way? I know I have. I know there's been times that I've prayed for things, I've hoped for things, I've asked God for things that didn't happen. Like the prayer didn't go my way. The prayer wasn't answered. And it made me think, did God even hear that? Does God even care? What's going on here? And when our prayers don't get answered, man, that's a really difficult thing. And how do we handle that? It's such an important question, in fact, that let me give you a sneak peek to what we're gonna talk about the last week of this series. The entire last week, so 4 weeks from now, the entire message is gonna be dedicated to the question, what do we do when God doesn't answer our prayers? How do we handle that? How do we deal with that? How do we look at God as this all-loving, all-powerful God when we pray that he would heal someone and then they don't get healed? How do we wrestle with that? So we're gonna talk about that in the last week of the series. And for all of these reasons we just talked about, why we all feel like we don't pray more, that's why we're doing this series on prayer. Because the truth is, we can all learn to be effective and efficient and powerful in our prayers. You can have a rich, meaningful, powerful prayer life. That is not just for the super spiritual. It's not for the people that have been walking with Jesus, you know, a really long time. It's not for the people that got all the secret Bible knowledge figured out. A rich, meaningful, powerful prayer life is for everyone. It can happen for you. And that's why we're doing this series. Now, I need to remind you that the goal of prayer is never prayer, okay? The goal of prayer is something much bigger. And I wanna remind you of that with our series, Big Idea. Go ahead and write this down. We pray so that we can be connected to God and his power. That's the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is that we would know God better and that we would live better. And by live better, I mean a life connected to God's power and God's strength is better than a life only in your power and your strength. And so prayer connects us to the wisdom of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, and it gives us access to a power that is so much greater than our own. And so that is always the goal of prayer. Now, each week, we're launching what we're talking about on that day by looking at a great prayer from a guy in the Bible named Paul. Paul wrote most of the second half of the New Testament, the letters to his friends that were Jesus followers, and he wrote some great prayers for his friends, and we're gonna read one of my favorites today. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays this great prayer for his friends, and I wanna read it to you, and I want you to follow along, but I want you to do this. At certain spots, I'm going to stop reading and point at you like this. And when I do, you're supposed to say that next word with enthusiasm. Got it? All right, so we're gonna read this together, all right? This is an awesome, awesome prayer. Look at this. He writes, I pray that out of his glorious riches, God's, he may strengthen you with that through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's people. He says, I want you to have power, and he tells us what he wants us to have power for. What does Paul want his friends to have power for? What do I want you to have God's power in your life for? Here's why. So that you may know to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In other words, he's praying, I want you to know the power of God so you can have everything that God has for you. That's what he just prayed for his friends. That's what I'm praying for you. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. His power is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now that is a prayer. There are some amazing truths right there in that prayer about who God is, about what he wants to do in your life, and what is available to all of us through a life connected to him. Now, I want to focus in on two words at the beginning of this. And I want you to look back and on that first line, if you're taking old school notes with pen and paper, I want you to circle these two words, glorious riches. Everybody say glorious riches. Glorious riches. Paul writes to his friends and says, I pray that out of his, God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. And what Paul is saying here is he's saying, God has everything you need out of his glorious riches. He has it all. He owns it all. He has access to it all. Everything that you need, it is found in him. The power to overcome an addiction, it is found in him. The power that we need to live out our calling, it is found in him. The power to be a witness in your neighborhood, on your job, at your school, it is found in him. He has all the glorious riches. Everything you need is available through him. And so I want you to think about what you're going to write in this next fill-in, because normally I give you a word that is the right word for all of us in a fill-in, but there's no right word for all of us in this fill-in. There's only a right word or a phrase for you. And so here's what I want you to think about. The power I need to blank is found in God. Don't write anything yet. I want you to think about it. The power I need to, what is it specifically to you? The power that I need to become more loving. The power that I need to develop patience, to have self-control, to overcome an addiction, to forgive them, to forgive myself, to let that anger go. Whatever it is that you need, the power that I need to, and you fill in the blank for you, it is found in God. Now I want you to write it down. Some of you are reluctant because you're like, the person next to me will see my problem. That's okay, then write something that seems like no big deal and you'll know it's a big deal, right? Like give a code name to it. But I want you to write something down. Like what is it for you that you could believe today and have a little hope for today to say, you know what? Yeah, the power that I need to what is found in God? To have hope again? The power that I need to believe that God still loves me? The power that I need to forgive myself? What is it that you need today? The ability to do that is found in God. Your ability to accomplish that is not found in more willpower. It's found in more God power. And we access God's power through a relationship with him, and a relationship grows only as you spend time with that person. And so how do we grow our relationship with God? One of the primary ways that we have to learn how to do that is through prayer, because it connects us to God and his power source that has everything we need. The summer before I started ninth grade in high school, okay, so about 10 years ago, the summer before I started ninth grade, we moved across the state, my family. And my parents made a decision that when we moved in this new house that summer, they made a decision that, I mean, it dramatically changed my life. They said no cable and TV in the new house. And I was like, are you serious? Like, we should call Child Protective Services right now because, like, this is not cool. And they were like, nope, no cable TV. They're like, you know, and this house had one of those giant antennas on the top where you could get the, you know, just like the local or the main, you know, like handful of TV stations. I was convinced you could get a signal from Mars on that thing. It was so big, but we just had a handful of channels. And the reason that I longed for cable and I wanted cable so bad is because I was missing out on a whole lot of sports games. Specifically, during my high school years was the reign of Michael Jordan as the greatest player in the world in all time. And the Chicago Bulls were winning championship after championship. And they only had a game on network TV like maybe twice a month. But there were games weekly on TNT and ESPN. And so Jesus wanted me to watch those games. This is what I told my parents. And they were like, not buying it. And yeah, I got a job in high school. I was like, I will pay for cable. They're like, we don't have cable in this house. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I went 4 years, no cable. I went away to college. I would come back every summer, still no cable. Fast forward to, I'm 23 years old. I'm back home the week before I'm getting married. Several of my buddies flew in town. We're staying at my parents' house, you know, because they were in the wedding. It's a couple days before the wedding. There's an NBA playoff game on. It's on network TV, so we could watch it. And there was a storm, and so the signal was kind of bad. And one of my friends goes behind the TV to try to mess with the cables that go up to that giant antenna on the house. And he looks on the back wall. He's like, dude, you have a cable jack right here. Why don't you just plug into that? I'm like, I know we don't have cable. And then he decides to just plug into it anyway to see what happens. Guess what happened? This is a true story. He plugged into that cable outlet and there was crystal clear cable TV, every channel. My house had had free cable for 9 years. 9 years. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, that would be the way it goes. And then, like, on top, to add insult to injury, right? My parents are like, oh, well, we'll just keep it then. And I, like, moved out of the house 3 days later. I was like, oh, and they still have cable to this day. I'm like, are you kidding? The thing that I wanted, the thing that I longed for, there was access to it the whole time. We just didn't plug into it. The same is true with God's power. Every single one of us, we are God's children living under a Father who has glorious riches, who wants to help, who wants to be a part, who wants to show his power in your life. Yet so many of us are living like impoverished spiritual children because we never ask. As Jesus said, we don't seek. And we don't knock, and we don't ask, we're not gonna have. We don't seek, we won't find. If we don't knock, the door doesn't open. And so what does prayer do? It asks, it seeks, it knocks. And so we have this God with glorious riches who wants to do great things in our life, and prayer is the way that we connect to him. And the reason I think most of us don't tap into God's power, I think there's two prayer mistakes that we make that leave us spiritually impoverished and not seeing God do incredible, miraculous, supernatural things in us and through us. And I think primarily it's because of the way that we pray. And here's the two prayer mistakes I think most of us make, including myself. Our prayers are too small and our prayers are too general. Write that down. Our prayers are too small and our prayers are too general. I mean, how do we most often pray, right? We usually pray like this. Like, you know, if we pray at all on a day, we might go, you know, Lord, be with me today. Like, bless me, protect me, be with my family. You know, amen. And like, that's kind of our small, general prayer. And I think when we pray prayers like that, God's kind of like, really? That's all you got? That's all you got for me. And I think he's oftentimes a little bit bewildered, actually, because many of the things we ask for, he's like, dude, you already have it. Why are you asking me for that? Right? We pray, God, be with me today. And he's in heaven going, when I was there, I actually said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You already have my Holy Spirit. I'm already with you. Why are you asking me for something you already have? Or right, we play, God bless me, bless my family. God's like, hello, have you looked where you live? You are blessed. Have you looked at your percentage of income in terms of the world population? Man, you're pretty blessed. But all right, I'll be with you and bless you. I already have, but I will. It's like, come on. I think a lot of times God's going, why don't you ask me for something big? Come on, ask me for something awesome so I can show off my goodness and I can show my glory. Ask me for something that takes power. Ask me for something that is so big and so awesome that when it happens, everybody will go, man, only God could do that. But yet I think we pray such small, general prayers. And the problem when we pray those kind of prayers, it doesn't show off who God is, what he can do, and how much he loves us. And our small, general prayers don't move the heart of God to big, specific actions. I want to share with you a crazy story of somebody that shows us what it looks like to not pray small, generic prayers. Like, these are the kind of prayers we could be praying. It comes out of church history all the way back in the 1500s. And there's a guy by the name of Martin Luther who led the Reformation of the church. And he stood up at a time where the church had lost its focus away from God. And he said, no, we need to make this back about Jesus. And he wanted to bring people's hearts back to God. And so he's leading this reformation in the church. And he has a great friend and partner in the reformation work of the church in the 1500s by the name of Frederick Myconius. And so Martin Luther is really good friends with this guy, Frederick Myconius, who finds himself, Myconius finds himself deathly ill. He gets a fever, he gets sick. He's basically told, you better get your affairs in order and say your last goodbyes because, you know, the end is near. And he gets so sick so quick that he's actually in bed, and at this time he's already lost the ability to speak. And so he writes a letter to his friend Martin Luther, basically to say his goodbyes. He writes a letter going, you know, it's been fun, but I'm going to see Jesus before you. And this letter gets to Luther, and Luther won't have any of it. And instead of writing a nice little note back and saying, you know, like, man, we had good times, and may the Lord comfort you in your final hours, because that would be a nice, safe, general small prayer. He prays a crazy prayer. And what's cool is we have this in history. He writes this letter to Myconius, and I want to read it to you. Here's what he writes to his friend on his deathbed. He writes, I command thee in the name of God to live. I will have need of thee in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that thou art dead, but will permit thee to survive me. In other words, he's like, no. You're not going to die. You're going to outlive me in Jesus' name. That's what he prays. And he says, for this I am praying because I seek only to glorify the name of God. In other words, he's like, my friend, we have more work to do. I am not letting you go. God, do not let this. I mean, he prays a very specific, bold, faith-filled prayer. Here's what happened. Myconius receives this letter. I mean, those that were with him are like, he's hours away from dying. And so they have to read it to him at this point. He hears the words, the faith-filled, bold prayer of his friend, and something starts to change. And over the next couple days, Myconius is miraculously and totally supernaturally healed. And he makes a full recovery and again joins his friend in this important work of the reformation of the church. And you know how many more years Myconius lived? He lived for 6 more years, and guess when he died? 2 months after his friend Martin Luther. Isn't that crazy? Some of you are like, he should have prayed for 20 more years, right? Like, he only got 6 out of that? Like, come on, man. They didn't live long back then, right? What an amazing thing. Martin Luther prayed this audacious, big, bold, faith-filled prayer, and God showed up and he answered it. And if we want to see God do miracles, if we want to see amazing Jesus transformation happen in our lives and in the lives of the people that we love, if we want to see the spiritual landscape of our city, our neighborhood, your college campus, your high school campus, our county, this nation, our world, if we want to see the spiritual landscape change, it's not going to happen from God bless me, protect me, keep me safe. It's going to happen through big, bold, audacious, faith-filled prayers. And that leads us to the two things, two prayer do's that I want to give you to put in practice this week. Here they are. Pray big and pray specifically. Too many times we pray small and we pray generic, and God wants us to pray big and he wants us to pray specific. Let me show you what this might look like. Here's a small generic prayer, okay? God, would you help my husband who's a total jerk and an idiot too? Help him be less of a jerk and less of an idiot, amen, right? Like, I mean, you might pray that because maybe he is a jerk and an idiot, you know? But like, I mean, that's kind of small and it's kind of generic. You want to know what a big specific prayer for your husband might sound like? God, would you help my husband have an encounter with Jesus that would transform and change his life forever? Would he totally open his life and surrender all that he is to you? And as he does that, would you fill him with the power of your Holy Spirit? And would you help the fruit of the Spirit to start to grow in his life? Would you help my husband have more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control? And God, would you help my husband be a leader, not a follower? Would you help him lead our family towards Christ? And as he leads our family towards Christ and shows our kids what it looks like to have faith and to have courage and to have boldness and to totally trust God, would it change our family for generation upon generation because of the way that man loves Jesus? Ooh, that's a good prayer, right? You see the difference? You know, God help him, he's a jerk. Man, Jesus, make him more like you. That's a specific prayer. These are the kind of prayers that we should be praying. Why should we pray big, bold, specific prayers? Here's why. It's the next two words I want you to circle back in Ephesians 3. Towards the end in verse 20, I want you to find these two words because we have a God who can do immeasurably more. Everybody say immeasurably more. God can do so much more than you could ask or imagine that it's not even measurable. That's why should we pray big, bold prayers, specific prayers? Because God says, I can even do more than you could ever imagine or even ask. And let me give you a practice. I want to give you something that you could do this week to help you be able to pray big, bold, specific prayers. There is a practice that will help you more than anything else. Because some of you are like, I don't even know. I mean, how would I come up with those kind of prayers? How do I do that? Here's a great practice. You have to write it down. You got to write it down. I want to encourage you to start writing some prayers down. And this week, maybe you just start with one. Come up with one big, specific, bold prayer that you could pray and show and have God do immeasurably more for you than you could ever ask or imagine. Because when you write something down, it just changes. You need to write it down for a couple reasons. The first one is this. You need to write a prayer down because when you write something down, it carries more weight and it becomes real. Any life coach or goal setting process teaches you this, that you don't just have goals in your head. Here's a couple things I might want to try to do, because you'll never actually do it. There's no accountability to it. When you write it down, it carries more weight, it becomes more real, and there's accountability. Like, whoa, that's what I said I was gonna do, right? That's what I'm praying God's going to do. And so you need to write it down for one reason, just to make it real. The second reason you need to write it down is when you write a prayer down, you actually can look back at it later and go, wow, look at what God did. Because I think God answers our prayers all the time, but here's what I know about me that's probably true about you too. is I'm so preoccupied with just the next thing that's happening in my life that I forget the thing that I asked God for, you know, a year ago, 6 months ago, or even a week ago. And when it happens, I'm like, oh, that's nice. Not even remembering that that was a big thing that I prayed for months and months or years ago. And now here I am living it out and I don't even give God any credit or any glory. And I think that happens to us all the time. And so what writing it down does, it helps us look back and go, wow, look at what God did. Last week after the message, one of our members came up to me and we were engaged in a conversation and he shared with me that he's been keeping a prayer journal, writing down prayers since 1985. He's got over 30 years of prayers written that he can go back on and go, wow, look at what God did. Look at how he answered prayer. And he was telling me just how encouraging that is. And even some of the prayers that he looks back that weren't answered, and now he looks back and go, woo, thank God that that wasn't answered. You ever had any of those? Sure you have. You saw that person in the supermarket that you went to high school with 20 years ago that you were praying, God, help them like me. And now you're like, whoa, thank God, right? Because time has not been good to her or him. So thank you, Jesus, for sparing me on that one, right? Yeah. And so when you write things down, it gives you perspective that you don't have. This is something that I do in my life. This is something I do in leading our church. I started writing some big, specific, bold, audacious, faith-filled prayers for our church a year ago. And over the last year, I've shared them with all different circles of leadership in our church and our kind of elder, our board team. I shared it with our staff. If you were at Eastlake Con, I shared it with all of our leaders there. And I want to share a 20-year dream that is a bold, specific, audacious, faith-filled goal and prayer that I have for our church. And I've written it down. And it's on the wall in my office. I have a prayer wall section where I have magnets and things up there that I pray over all the time. And I have this paper with kind of like, here's our 20-year crazy God dream as a church. And I just want to read the top to you. Because here's what a big specific prayer sounds like. Because I want you to write a big specific prayer this week for your family, for your business, for your career, for your life, for a loved one. And what does a big prayer sound like? Well, here's mine, here's ours as a church. In the next 20 years, Eastlake Church will develop and deploy, we call that leadership multiplication, disciples and leaders into more than 50 new communities to plant 50 churches in order to share the Jesus story with every man, woman, and child. We call that gospel saturation, where every single person has the ability to hear the good news story of Jesus. That's a crazy big dream. We will be a catalyst for a movement of more than 50,000 people living on Jesus' mission. That's my crazy dream for my life over the next 20 years. God, would you use me to help that happen? Because that is something so big, I don't know how to make that happen, right? Like what's it gonna take to accomplish that dream? It's gonna take hundreds of new leaders and pastors that we don't have trained yet. It's going to take millions of dollars to start these churches that we don't have yet. It's gonna take organizational restructuring at multiple turns that we don't even know yet. And so some of you are thinking like, why would you write that down? That's crazy talk. I'll tell you why I'd write it down, because Ephesians 3:20 says that we have a God who can do immeasurably more. And so if I can write that down, he can do way more than that. And you wanna know, God wants you to have a dream that is so big. And you know why the dream needs to be really big and really specific? Here's why, because it will require something of you. When a dream is small and generic, when a prayer is small and generic, it doesn't require this. But when a prayer is big and specific, it requires something that pleases God. You know what it is? Faith. That's what it is. Scripture says faith pleases God. That when one of his children go, God, I don't know how you're gonna do this. I don't know how this is gonna happen. I don't have the resources. I don't have the smarts. God, I don't know how this is gonna happen, but I believe this is what you want to do, and I know it's what I want to do. And so God, I gotta believe that you put what I wanna do in my heart because I'm trying to live a life that pleases you. And so God, would you come through? And it forces us to have faith, and faith pleases God. And so this week, would you write down a big, bold, faith-filled, audacious, specific prayer? College student, what do you want to see God do in your life over the next year when you graduate? What job do you want? How do you want to use your gifts and your skills and what you're going to learn in that career, not just selfishly for yourself, but for the kingdom of God in that career? Parents, what do you believe in for your children? What do you want for your marriage? Business owner, what do you want to accomplish with that business? Write it down and begin to pray over it. And when you pray, I want us to read one last verse together that tells us how we should come to God in prayer. This would be a great verse for you to memorize this week. It's found in Hebrews 4:16. In fact, I would love for us to read this out loud together. Could we do that? Everybody everywhere, Hebrews 4:16. Ready, begin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. What do you need most from God this week? Go boldly to him in prayer. He's a good heavenly Father who has everything that you need. And so this week, will you pray big and pray specific? Everybody grab that connection card inside your program. On the back left of it, there's a question. This week I will. I want you to write down, pray big and specific. That's the one. Will you write down one prayer this week? Just one? You can do it. Write a big, bold, faith-filled, audacious prayer. Put it somewhere. And if you're like, I don't want anybody to see that because they're going to think I'm crazy, put it somewhere only you're going to see it. And begin to pray it. And see if God doesn't encourage you. See if he doesn't show up in your life. We'd love to pray for you this week. You can share a prayer request on the bottom of the card. Maybe today you just go, man, I want to start walking with Jesus. There's a couple boxes there. Let us know that. Make sure at least your name and email is on the front. We'd love to encourage you. Let you know we're praying for you this week. Let me pray for all of us right now. God, I thank you that we can come to you in prayer today and every day this week boldly. God, we don't have to come to you fearfully. We don't have to come to you with shame. We don't have to come to you with doubt, wondering if you care. But God, would you help us come to you boldly, trusting that you are a good Father and that you have all the power, you have all the glorious riches that we need. And so God, would you help us pray big, bold, faith-filled, specific prayers this week so that when they happen, nobody can say, look what they did, but everybody would just go, wow, look what God did. That's a miracle. Only God could do that. And God, when that happens, would you get all the glory and you get all the honor? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.